can talk about whatever any sport you want. I'm not very familiar with any of them beyond just being a very passionate enjoyer of them as an entertainer, type of entertainment. I used to watch basketball quite a bit when I lived in Michigan and would watch the Detroit Pistons. And my brother is a very good athlete and very involved in sports himself as a professional golfer and someone who's played basketball for years in school. And I did swimming and stuff, water polo, some things like that. But basketball was always the sport I enjoyed watching the most. But I love all sports because it's just so much excitement.
Yeah, definitely. I like how you pride yourself as an entertainer so that you can find entertainment in that. It's definitely a cool thing.
I agree, and thank you for acknowledging that, because sometimes I've been a little embarrassed in terms of my knowledge of sports. I haven't kept up on it, and for real sports fans, I could see how they might think that's not cool, and it isn't cool, but it's just the nature of having so much time in a day. But I love sports very much, and I really love sports fans just because, there's so much excitement. It's really like a raw energy, and I can even just watch a sporting game, sporting event of almost any type without having any real strong attachment to either team and still be very thrilled by it, especially if it's a good game or a close contest.
Yeah, I love that you have that passion just for entertainment in general, that you can recognize good entertainment like that. It's a very cool thing.
Well, likewise, right back at you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I guess to kind of start out, we can talk about, what you're doing right now with your music career and whatnot.
Okay, sure. I am actually in the midst of recording a new EP, probably 3 or 4 songs on it, maybe 5. It's going to be coming out in Japan first, which is often how we've been releasing things. But it's a preview, or I guess a build-up to a new full-length rock and roll album, which will be coming out later this year.
So, I just saw on your Facebook page today that you appeared in the new A Day to Remember video, All I Want.
Yes, exactly. It just came out yesterday, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that was very fun. I
mean, just like,
oh, wow, what kind of dog is that?
That's a Shih Tzu.
Now, a Shih Tzu, that's like a smaller dog, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like, I guess, a little bit bigger than Chihuahuas, but...
But they're chubbier, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they got some more meat on their bones.
Like fluffier. I saw a Pomeranian last night. It was one of the cutest dogs I'd ever seen. It looks like a baby bear, like a bear cub.
Those things are really cute.
Yeah, they look like little lions or something.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So what sports are you, do you like? All sports?
Yeah, I kind of keep myself informed on all sports. I run my own sports blog, sportingrave.com.
Okay, cool. Is that where this interview goes?
Right. Well, I also have this podcast is on iTunes too, and then I started off my website as my interest as for being a sports writer. It's what I want to do.
Awesome.
And I kind of, as I learned more about the trade and whatnot, kind of branched off into this podcast and had a lot of good opportunities such as this one. So I'm excited about that.
Well, thank you for having me on it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's a great opportunity. But yeah, I kind of keep up with whatever's going on currently in the sports world, whatever sports currently happening.
Okay, cool. Well, what about sports like water polo or swimming? I mean, that was the stuff in high school that I did. My mom was a very passionate swimmer when she was growing up. She trained my brother and I to swim from an early age, and then got into the swim teams during the summer. And then when I went to high school, I did the varsity swimming there. I liked it and I didn't. It was one of those interesting things. I guess it taught some kind of discipline, but let's put it this way. I haven't been back in the pool really in years. Done with it, I was kind of done. Because we would practice every morning before school. Then right after class, you'd have to get up at 5 a.m. On the weekends and all that. And that's, again, how I admire the dedication of all athletes, because I'm vaguely familiar just from that experience of how hardcore you can go when you're really training hard. I mean, any kind of professional level athlete, it really is an absurd way to live and a really insane amount of work. And when you especially see grown adults doing that, to me, again, it's very inspiring. Obviously, they love it, and that's why they are able to find the motivation and energy to do that, just like I am able to in the work I do in my life. But it's brutal. It's like a physically brutal thing. I've talked to NFL football players that explain sort of the way it is to be a football player and what it's like to live that. And it's, I mean, maybe the real hardcore fans are aware of it, but I certainly had no idea how young many football players have to retire, how many of them die or have health problems at a very early age. And it's just they're destroying themselves for the love of this game.
Yeah, I think when it goes back to just the passion, like you can't get to the top without having an insane amount of passion, kind of like you do with music and the energy you have and stuff. So when it comes to football and other sports, it's kind of the same concept.
Dogs love squirrels and people, but they want to bite squirrels and chew their bodies open, I imagine, or play with them in that way. And then a human they might be more gentle with.
That's definitely the vibe I get from the way he looks at squirrels. But yeah.
Have you ever seen one of your dogs actually get a squirrel?
I've seen them get lizards.
Oh, okay.
I live in Florida.
Yeah, you're in Florida. That's right. You're in Clearwater?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's awesome. I almost lived there. I almost moved there.
Oh, really? When?
It would have been, I guess, around 2004 or 2005. For the first time since 2001, we were off tour. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had sort of basically toured for 3 years straight, and I didn't need a house or anywhere to live. I just put my bags at friend's house or girlfriend's house or my parents' house. But then we made a decision to not tour nonstop, so it made sense to get a house again. So I was thinking about different places to live, and I had spent a lot of time and lived in Florida for a while when I was forming my band in like 99, 2000, and I loved it. And there was a couple of times I got to visit St. Pete and Clearwater on tour, and it was just so beautiful. So I almost moved to Clearwater Beach, right on the beach, in like a high rise.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what stopped me? The main reason I didn't do it was just because of that very narrow road that is the only way you can get there in the traffic.
I'm a little bit familiar. I've lived here for about like a year and a half probably, so.
Well, there's probably, I mean, Clearwater is different from Clearwater Beach, so like, but there's this very thin, almost like bridge with just one lane to get there. And, you know, that it would take sometimes 4 hours, depending on what time of day it was, just to drive maybe a mile or two. So that was a little weird. And I always wonder what life would have been like had I moved there. In the end, I ended up moving back to New York City or just, you know, staying here. Mm-hmm. But I loved this idea of totally relocating as well. And I was very tempted just because there's a feeling in the air in Florida. I mean, I like the South in general and I like warm weather, but Florida specifically, there's just a very unique, special vibe there, and I love it. I really do.
Yeah, the weather, you know, pretty much unmatched, and, you know, obviously beaches and...
It gets hot, though.
Yeah, it's been getting cold the past couple of winters, too.
Yeah, now how cold has it been this winter so far? Has it gotten below freezing?
Yeah, it's gotten in the low 30s, at least in the morning.
Okay, well, there you go.
I think this December set a new record for lowest temperature in Florida, so...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I heard that. All around the country, there was new record set for cold.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Exciting, too. I mean, I really like the winter. I really like the seasons.
Yeah.
But you still get a feeling of seasons in Florida, because I lived there for more than enough time to feel the – you could feel and smell fall when it came in, and spring had its own feeling. Summer was pretty brutal, though, I got to say.
Yeah, the humidity is really what gets you in the summer.
It's true. It's very thick. It's very, it's like paper. That's what I think I always remember.
Yeah.
Even in your house, if you have the AC on at all times, like the sheets on my bed were always wet. The paper was sort of like rubbery. Cardboard always became rubbery. Everything was just chubby with moisture.
I guess like in Texas, like I'm originally from Dallas, Texas, but.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, they have a dry heat, so it might be 110 in Dallas, but it's 100 in Clearwater with humidity, and that's a lot worse, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one thing a lot of people don't know.
No, I fully understand that. Because even in New York, it gets quite hot just because the humidity is so high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when it gets in the 90s here and it's humid, it's just like Florida, actually. That's a strange thing. In Michigan as well, where I grew up, of course, we have all the seasons. It gets extraordinarily cold and snowy during the winter. But in the summer, it gets in the 90s and is as humid as anything could possibly be. It's weird how, even though we're that much further north, we still get that hot. Because if you go a little bit further north into Canada, for example, it doesn't really ever get into the 90s.
Yeah, I guess Canada provides that. But
now, what other pets do you guys have? You have two dogs?
Yeah, we have two dogs. And two cats, too, but cats kind of stay anonymous, thankfully.
Do they play with the dogs?
Yeah, they do, actually.
Okay.
Kind of so off and on.
They're friends.
Yeah, they're friends, but they need to get sort of feisty at times. But overall, it's a pretty good relationship.
So what do you want to talk about basketball more? I mean, I have a lot of questions for you.
Yeah, go. I mean, it's a sporting great podcast, so we can really do whatever.
Okay, yeah, let's well, here's the I watched basketball the most during the well, I guess actually several different high points of the Pistons last 20 years, I guess. So like the Bad Boys, that whole era I watched quite a bit.
Cool,
I mean,
that
was so exciting. And then more recently when they won again, I guess that would have been like the early 2000s.
I think that was like 03 or 04 maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause then that was a really incredible team as well. Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, who else was on the what's his name? The
Chauncey Billups.
Yeah. Chauncey Billups. And then, Hamilton, Rip Hamilton. He's still on the team, right?
Yeah, he is.
He's like the star player. And then, Prince, Tayshaun Prince, such a unique vibe, right? Pistons always had a lot of personality in their players, and that was another era with just such an interesting group of guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're looking for personality, like, can't really get much farther than Rasheed Wallace. And
yeah. Oh, and check this out. My brother, again, my brother's name is Patrick. He's the sports aficionado in our family, especially when it comes to basketball and golf. And again, he is a professional golfer who lives in Florida. It lives in Orlando and plays year round on the Hooters tour. And anyway, he was at that famous game, where the Pacers and I guess it was the Pistons had that.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
Was it Pistons and Pacers?
Yeah, it was Pistons Pacers.
Yeah. He was in the stands just a few seats away. I mean, he said he could hear the fists hitting the flesh, when that fight first broke out. And he was actually at that game. I mean, I remember, I don't know if I watched it. I remember hearing about it the day it happened, though, and then thinking, wait a minute, I think Patrick was supposed to be at that game. And then my mom called me and said that he was. And he was very disturbed. I mean, he was truly upset. He said it was very upsetting, which I was more just sort of shocked and freaked out and sort of just really blown away by the whole thing. But he was emotionally distraught. And I guess that would make sense if you witness people behaving like that, especially people that you had held up as very ethical, good role models, or at least, I mean, that's really crossing a line in a very scary way.
Yeah, I think I probably watched that video about a month ago, and I remember watching that video. I was disturbed. I would say I was disturbed when I was watching it. I think it was like maybe 7 or 8 minutes. I mean, that feeling I had, you know, I've never seen that anything in sports. Never felt that watching any sports highlights or anything. So to be in the stands of that game, that's just crazy.
Yeah, and close enough where he could have gotten mixed up in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's that. It reminds me of the same feeling of when during the Dimebag Darrell was killed on stage in his band Damage Plan by that fan who came out of the crowd with a gun. And you just realize how vulnerable everybody is at all times. But when someone's on a stage or when someone's on a court and there's just so many people versus so many other people, and you realize that there's always this trust, this inherent unspoken understanding and trust that we're going to allow each other to do this and not get in each other's way and certainly not punch anybody or shoot anybody. And when you realize how easy it is, I mean, for anybody just to walk out in the street and just cause havoc. It's also a miracle how much things do hold together. I was watching that video on YouTube the other day as well, and then it made me think about the LA riots. How old are you? Do you remember those LA riots?
I'm 17, almost 18, so I don't.
Okay, you would have been pretty young. But yeah. I was pretty young too, but old enough to remember. And it was another situation where just that line that holds civilization together or holds society together, the line was shattered and crossed many times over, and you just could see how quickly order just descends into complete chaos when more than a few people decide to go there. So let's be grateful that people hold it together so much of the time.
Yeah, it's definitely something a lot of people don't think about.
Well, and also, like, I guess in Europe with those soccer games and somehow
yeah.
riots, right?
Mm-hmm.
and you realize that even though there's, I'm sure, lots of security and police and all the players, I mean, that crowd of 80,000 or 100,000 or 150,000 people, that's just, that's a massive energy equal to, I mean, I don't know, like an atomic bomb. I mean, just think of all the manpower and all those people and what any one person's capable of, let alone 100,000. Pretty intense, but that's the power of sports. I mean, that's the power of watching live sports, is being in that atmosphere. And it is full of danger and it is full of possibility and excitement. But again, that's why it's so awesome when it goes the right way, which it usually does.
Yeah, in Europe, soccer is basically a religion for those people. So,
we don't really have anything quite. I mean, football here is certainly very, very intense and unique to this country. But there's something, a level of intensity about European soccer, well, just soccer around the world, basically everywhere except the U.S., that is pretty strong. And it's sort of weird that we don't participate in it at that level. But I don't know. I guess we're just not meant to.
I think we just have a lot more resources for other sports, because, like, you go to Cameroon or somewhere, they don't have anything else besides soccer.
Is that true?
Yeah, you look at these poor African countries and all those places, they don't really...
You're right. Yeah, I'm sure there's, like, other sports being played, but in terms of a national major, like, sponsored event, you're right, soccer is the main thing. That's exactly the reason. Well, you answered it. That makes sense. Because that's the one sport that everybody can participate in.
Yeah, and then, you know, like growing up, you know, kids in America, they're watching football and basketball and baseball, so they kind of get a feel for that. But they don't really have, you know, I guess American football or really much baseball, especially back in Europe and stuff, so, or Africa. So, I mean, they grow up hearing about their national heroes.
Right.
World Cup or whatever, so they're like, I want to be like them.
Yep.
Kind of how they get started on that.
The superstar athletes. That's true. There was I can't remember who it was that I saw the other day, an interview with a basketball player. It might have been Kobe Bryant. But just, again, I realized also how young he is, just in terms of what he's done in life and the pressure. Just the pressure. Like, that to me, is beyond belief. The pressure that someone like Kobe Bryant feels. A superstar athlete with that level of attention being paid to him and having to perform to do something very, very specific and very, very particular that's judged in this very detailed way with people keeping track of numbers and things. I mean, for example, if I go out and play a concert, I mean, no one's really keeping a score tab the way that they would at an event like an athletic game. And on top of that, you have to win. Like, it's not really clear if you win or lose after you play a song. I mean, I guess you can tell you did a good job or it went over well, but it's a lot less clear than a number that this person had this number of points and this person had this number. And man, the pressure that it comes down to, it reminds me of like taking tests in school or getting graded on some kind of presentation, and just times that by 1 billion levels of intensity.
Yeah, I think that's where athletes are kind of underrated, because, you know, all the off the field or off the court issues like Tiger Woods and whatnot, you know, they don't really realize how much pressure they endure on it. So, you know, a lot of that goes into that.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. And it's a lifestyle that does relate a lot to entertainment. I mean, whenever we're on the road in our tour bus and we see other tour buses, the odds are it's either another performer or it's an athlete. Yeah. Could be a NASCAR driver, it could be motorcycle people, it could be football people, it could be basketball people. And even just the amount of moving around from training into the season, as soon as the season ends, you're right back in it. You have to maintain this level of consistency and relevance, or you can easily just fade away. I mean, and then to make it to the front and then hold on to that. I guess it's just like anybody who goes for it in life, in whatever field you're in, that's when pressure comes, because you're shooting for higher levels. But it seems like it's really amplified with sports, because that's part of the appeal. That's what the fans are excited about, is that pressure.
Now, here's my belief in like guys like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and the pressure they face and they have to find success. I think, you know, growing up, you know, when you come to the league, obviously you're very heralded, but as you progress and as you mature, you kind of they kind of embrace the opportunities and kind of the whole superstar persona. So I think the way we think they deal with it, like, you know, how on earth does Kobe Bryant deal with being one of those famous athletes in the face of the earth?
Right.
Well, you know, he's what, probably 34 right now, 33 or 34. And, you know, ever since age 14, you know, he was destined to be a superstar, I'm sure. So he's grown up with that. So I think, you know, he probably doesn't look at it the same way we do, but pressure is definitely there either way.
Well, that's, I mean, you bring up a very good observation as well. The fact that he has been doing this since he was very young, and even before that, before 14, I'm sure he was playing from as soon as he could pick up a ball. And that brings up that idea of destiny. And was he born to do this? Well, clearly, I mean, he might as well have been. Yes, it's possible there's some other talent or skill that he has that's either untapped or undiscovered, even that maybe he's not even aware of. I mean, you always wonder about that. Like, maybe he's the greatest painter that's ever existed. But the universe and the world, reality seems to work so to take advantage of what you seem to be naturally good at. And it seems to rise to the surface in a very obvious way. And as long as you follow it and nurture that tendency in yourself, then your destiny sort of takes care of itself. But at the same time, you know, why, like, how does a Kobe Bryant come along? And it does take a lot of effort. It's not like he just was made that way and it was so easy for him. It's that's why it's so rare, because it's a combination of ability, that incredible desire, the mental ability to focus and to commit to something to that really absurd level. I mean, it's a really unreasonable way to live. It's a very unusual way to spend your time. To do anything to the extreme that it takes to succeed at that level is an unusual way to live. That's why most people don't do it. But just to be able to see someone do it and see how they do it, that's all it takes for someone else to get the inspiration or the motivation to have that role model. And that's why even someone like me can model myself after someone like Kobe Bryant, just purely by being inspired by his focus, by his drive, by his sheer commitment to living out his destiny. And there's nothing better, really, in life, nothing more entertaining and uplifting than watching someone do what they were born to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's one reason I really admire and respect the entertainment industry so much, is like guys like yourself in the music, or whether it be an actor and movie industry or athletes, you know, they put their sweat and tears into every single thing they do. And that passion really shows in their work. So it's definitely a really cool thing.
Yeah, I thank you for saying that, and for noticing that, for extracting that from entertainment. I mean, you can get all different kinds of feeling out of entertainment, but I think that the main sensation that most folks are going for is joy. And pure joy is really, it's just raw energy. I mean, cause you can watch all kinds of movies or listen to all kinds of songs or read all kinds of books, and they're not all happy songs or happy movies or happy books. Some of them can be very sad. Some could be very angry. Some could be violent. Some could be just very scary and upsetting. But somehow it brings us closer to this sensation that is a good feeling. I mean, you can't deny it. Otherwise, why would we spend our time engaging with this kind of entertainment or this culture? So if we can harness that good feeling, you know, as often as possible, not just entertainment, but if we can find and extract joy, extract energy, extract some kind of value from all our experiences, I mean, then I feel like that's maybe even the meaning of life, is to find something worthwhile in every aspect of your surroundings. And then if you can't, you know, make it so that you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be good for other people to kind of look at the world the way you do and stuff. Like,
oh, I learned it from many people that
I'm sure you did.
You know, it's all basic, very basic stuff, and I'm work. You know, the reason I focus on this kind of thing, I guess, and I love talking about it with you, is because it helps me stay in that state of mind. It's like we're a support group for each other, and maybe that's what entertainment is. It's like a huge network of people trying to cheer each other up and trying to keep one another in that good state of mind.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it.
We're like a cheer up squad, you know, like an army of good cheer. Because it really all goes back to like a jester or a clown or someone who is there to distract you from, not even distract you, to remind us of what really matters, which most of the time is smiling and laughing. You know, to me, like that's kind of the most important thing in life, that joy. just to try to be connected to that joy, to stay with that feeling as much of the time as possible. And it might not be possible to stay in that state all the time, but it sure is worth shooting for. Have you ever seen your cats catch a bird?
They're mainly indoor cats. They're declawed and stuff, so.
Oh, okay. Right.
I've seen other cats come down with birds, so.
But the dogs catch the lizards?
Yeah, they go in the backyard sometimes and kind of romp around, but there's tons of lizards in Florida, so they catch their fair share.
Dude, I see those really tiny ones. Are there ever ones that are bigger, like a foot long or anything?
I'd say most, what I see is like probably biggest is like maybe 5-6 inches. Not really that big.
Their tails will pop right off, right?
Yeah, and they'll grow it back. That's what
so
I've
heard. How long does it take for them to get a full tail again? Do you think weeks?
From what I remember, is about 2 weeks, because I remember hearing that somewhere.
Okay, well, that's still pretty fast, considering. I mean, it's like half their body.
Yeah, regenerate that much material.
And what do they eat, bugs?
You know, I guess so, I guess. I mean, I guess they can't really eat grass or anything, so.
Well, who knows? I mean, that's why I always wonder that about animals. There's so many animals on the earth, and they're all eating. I mean, that's an interesting thing, too, about, like, a horse. Like, think about how big a horse is, and all it eats is straw or clovers or apples and carrots and, like, oats and things. Just grains, right? It doesn't eat any meat, from what I understand. And it's like it could not be more muscular and lean. I mean, they're just naturally turn out so great every time and huge and really, really huge. It's weird. And then like an elephant, but I think an elephant has to eat tons and tons and tons of food every day.
I would think so.
I guess more than a human, but I wonder about that because I wonder if an elephant could survive on maybe just as much of a diet as a human, maybe a little bit more and still get that big or if they would get stunted and just be like small or sick or die even.
And that'd be a good reality show.
Yeah, let's see how to grow an elephant.
Yeah.
How to grow animals from scratch.
And maybe going back to the lizards, maybe their digestive system doesn't really call for as much food or energy, so, you know.
Well, they must burn a lot, though, because they move very fast. But again, at the same time, they're quite small. You know, when the bigger an animal gets, the less efficient it is, losing the more it burns. Those really little animals, yeah, you're right. They burn a lot, but it's probably a very efficient thing. They always move quick. You notice that how chipmunks, certain animals, it seems like they can't move slowly no matter how badly they would ever want to.
Yeah. I think
jerky.
Built-in ADHD or something.
Do you have, do either of your dogs, are they fast movers or are they kind of calm and move at a normal speed?
It really depends on their mood, I guess. Like, if they've been sleeping and basically the more energy they have, the faster they move.
Right. And even their eyes and their heads and stuff, they would turn around faster.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely if they're in the right mood and stuff, they move pretty quick. But I guess just walking around, they're kind of pretty chill.
That's good.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about Destroy, Build, Destroy.
Oh, sure, yes. Destroy, Build, Destroy is my TV show on Cartoon Network. It is a game show, live-action game show, featuring two teams of teenagers, usually, competing against each other and destroying large objects such as semi-trucks, school buses, police cars, blowing them up and then using the wreckage to build a machine, usually a vehicle of their own creation and design, which they then use to compete with throughout the rest of the show. And then finally, whichever team wins using that vehicle they built, that team gets to destroy the other team's vehicle, again, usually with a huge, massive explosion. When I say huge explosions, I mean like 500-foot fireballs, like really tall buildings worth of flame blowing up, like a mushroom cloud. It's on all week long. Wednesdays at 8:30, it's always on. You can go to Cartoon Network's website. But if they show the episodes all week long, and then we're filming a bunch of new episodes in a few months. So it'll keep going, and we're just going to make the explosions bigger and bigger.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I haven't actually – I know it's on Cartoon Network. I know a little bit about it, but I didn't really know the main gist. So that's awesome. That sounds like a crazy show.
Yes, I've been very grateful to be able to do this. It's like a real fantasy come true, a real dream come true to be around monster trucks and NFL football players and NASCAR drivers and teenagers. And I get to scream through a megaphone while explosions go up on either side of me. It really is like, I can't believe that I'm there seeing what I'm seeing. And then to be able to share it with people on the TV is very satisfying.
So what's your upcoming touring schedule like? Got anything planned?
Yes, we're going to Australia in just about a week and a half. Australia, New Zealand, touring there, and then we'll be going to Japan in April, and then touring around the world for the rest of the year as much as possible. I'm working on a new album, releasing an EP in Japan first, and then want to take the show on the road with my full band. So there's a lot going on, and I'm very excited to have it all be going.
Bobby, if you ever come to Florida, let me know.
Oh yes, we'll definitely be there. We were there. We played three shows in Florida in October, and most of my band lives there. It's a place we spend a lot of time, so we will certainly be back.
All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for coming on and talking to us. This is awesome.
Yes. Thank you very much, and thank you for your grand assistance with setting up my Skype. Send us the link as soon as it's up, and I will tweet it and tell the party people around the world all about it.
Thank you very much, and best of luck in your future endeavors.
Likewise. Thank you, Colin. It was very helpful.
Yeah.